Support for this public radio podcast comes from the Society for Human Resource Management, which also sponsors PBS's CEO Exchange, online at shrm.org.
For sale, the weather.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. The Weather Channel is one hot property. It's one of the last privately owned cable channels left. But today, its parent company, Landmark Communications, is expected to put the Weather Channel up for sale. Word is some big media companies might be interested. NBC, possibly, maybe Comcast. The Weather Channel could fetch $5 billion. Advertisers love it because people usually don't TiVo the weather and skip the commercials. And weather.com is one of the more popular websites. Landmark is reportedly selling everything it owns. That includes 9 daily newspapers. Wall Street is off to its worst start for a new year since 1983. The Dow begins the morning at 13,043. It lost 221 points yesterday. The major indexes all fell about 1.5%. In Asia and Europe today, more losses. Oil is trading just pennies away from $100 a barrel. It passed 100 for the first time yesterday. The Iowa caucuses are tonight, believe it or not. If you haven't noticed, all of the presidential candidates in Iowa support government subsidies for the oil alternative, ethanol. Iowa is, of course, a huge ethanol state. But not everyone in Iowa is on board with this movement. John Dimsdale takes a closer look.
Iowa dairy farmer Francis Tickey has watched the price of his feed skyrocket. He worries government subsidies for ethanol are diverting too much corn to fuel.
We're going very fast down this road, and unfortunately, we're not going to see presidential candidates bucking that trend in Iowa. Maybe they'll do it in other places in the country, but not in Iowa.
But Iowa corn farmer Larry Mintz, who's taken advantage of government incentives to build a small ethanol plant, believes corn-based fuel is sustainable, and subsidies are needed for weaning the nation from Middle East oil.
It's very important to the economy here in Iowa. Hopefully they won't back away from it. I'm sure they won't talk about it nearly as much in more urban states.
The Sierra Club's national political director, Kathy Duvall, is in Iowa encouraging candidates to talk about the environmental costs to land and water of growing corn for fuel. She's not hearing that.
They do talk about what I kind of refer to as corn ethanol plus, that yes, we need to have corn ethanol. Isn't it great for the Iowa farmers and for the Iowa economy? But we also do need to look forward to what is going to be the next crop that we'll be using to produce alternative fuels, and how do we make this sustainable?
Voters will hear more on that from the candidates once they leave the Corn Belt, says Duvall. Meanwhile, every presidential wannabe who thinks he or she stands a chance in Iowa is endorsing ethanol subsidies. The exception is John McCain, who's not counting on a win in Iowa. He's concentrating on New Hampshire's primary next week. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
After 2 months of reruns, late-night TV came back last night with new material. Letterman cut his own deal with union writers who are on strike. Leno and Conan O'Brien did their shows without writers. They probably could have used them. O'Brien spent time reading Christmas cards and seeing how long he could spin his wedding ring. Letterman gave his top 10 demands for striking writers. Among them, a complimentary tote bag with the next insulting offer from the studios. You're listening to The Morning Report for Thursday, January 3rd on Marketplace.org. The subprime mess has hurt the stock price of many a company. For weeks, high-risk investors have been swooping in to buy up some of those shares. But regular money managers, like the ones who run your mutual fund, have started nibbling too. Here's Sam Eaton.
They call it bottom feeding, but it's not necessarily a bad thing. Francois Trahan is chief investment strategist at ISI Group in New York. He says buying stocks that have been unfairly punished can yield some of the highest returns.
So if you have something that's been halved, you know, your odds of finding something that's going to double are much greater than if you're, you know, if you have something that did okay last year, but probably has a story that's running long in the tooth at this point.
The financial sector looks especially tasty, led by foreign government-linked funds. Investors snapped up billions of dollars in financial stocks last quarter. But Trahan says the sector will remain a risky bet until the subprime crisis plays out. He says the real bargains are stocks linked to consumer spending, like retailers and restaurants. They're down about 15%, but he says they could see a major rebound if the price of oil comes down. That would make gas cheaper and leave more Americans feeling flush. I'm Sam Eaton from Marketplace.
It was a pretty bleak holiday season for retailers. Sales grew by their slowest rate in at least 4 years. Now some stores are hoping for a little New Year's boost from one group of people, Latinos. Walmart, in particular, is heavily promoting an upcoming holiday that isn't normally celebrated in the U.S. From our America's desk at WLRN, Dan Gretsch has more.
El Día de los Reyes Magos, or Three Kings Day, is celebrated this Sunday. It marks the day the three wise men showered baby Jesus with gifts. Carlos Ramirez is with López Negrete Communications, the nation's second largest Hispanic marketing company. He says many Latinos celebrate the holiday for 12 days after Christmas.
The Three Kings is a very heavy gift-giving celebration. Within certain cultures, gifts can be exchanged as much as, you know, every single night.
His firm works with Walmart to promote Three Kings Day. Over 300 stores have displays and products geared to the celebration.
It positions Walmart as a company that knows and cares about the traditions of its customers and, for that matter, its own employees.
A Three Kings parade in Miami, sponsored by Kmart, is expected to draw 500,000 people. I'm Dan Gretsch for Marketplace.
Here's something grocery store chains are doing to drum up business. They're giving away free medicine, and by that I mean prescripted medication. Matt Sepik has our story from St. Louis.
Mary Kay Hoff does all of her grocery shopping at this Schnuck store near her home in St. Louis. She also picks up prescriptions here from time to time. Hoff says she was happy to hear Schnucks recently started offering free supplies of commonly prescribed drugs.
There are a lot of people that can't afford medication, and so any time that someone can get their medication free, I think that's a good program.
It should go without saying that blockbuster drugs such as Ambien and Viagra are not among the freebies. The list is limited to a few dozen varieties of generic antibiotics. The supermarket chain's president, Todd Schnuck, says his company wants to help young families and the elderly. But he admits business considerations also factor in.
There's a lot of customers that come in just for the pharmacy, and so we want to try and actually bring in more because we think it's a good business.
Schnucks is not the first chain to do this. Last year, Walmart got the ball rolling with its $4 prescriptions, and then regional stores, including Publix in Florida and Meijer in Michigan and Ohio, started giving away free drugs. However, supermarket research analyst David Livingston says this is not a move that will turn the grocery business on its ear.
It's not a significant event in the industry. I would compare it to giving a free sucker out at the counter to a child.
There's not a giant plastic bowl of antibiotics at the checkout. You still have to have a doctor's prescription. But Livingston says common drugs such as penicillin and amoxicillin are so cheap, offering them free may actually save the company money. Schnucks would not put a price tag on the giveaway. However, Livingston points out it's not worth a pharmacist's time to process insurance paperwork or even ring up the sale on such drugs.
It's actually probably even more cost-effective to give them away for free, considering a pharmacist is making excess of $100,000 per year.
That, he says, and not competition from Walmart, is the real reason for this mini trend. And the PR value doesn't hurt either. In St. Louis, I'm Matt Sepik for Marketplace.
World's busiest airport is still Atlanta. Atlanta logged almost 1 million flights last year. Chicago was number 2, Dallas-Fort Worth number 3. More than 70% of Atlanta's flights are Delta. It's the world's largest hub. Plus, AirTran has the biggest low-cost hub in Atlanta as well. I know some people who won't book a hotel unless it has a certain customer rating on the website TripAdvisor. The thing is, some of the reviews that bring down those ratings can be nitpicky, and in some cases, vindictive sounding. But if you run a hotel, you'd better be aware of what's being said about your hotel. Lenora Chu has our story.
You can ride a cable car to San Francisco's Chancellor Hotel. It's in the top 10 in that market, according to TripAdvisor, the online review site. But the hotel gets its share of wacky reviews. One guest wrote the hotel was haunted. Another insisted someone stole a shoe from his room.
Sometimes people use TripAdvisor as a get-even tool.
That's the hotel's general manager, Wes Tyler. He figures a savvy consumer takes the written reviews with a grain of salt. But what worries him is the dots that visitors can assign.
The damage that that one dot rating does to us is really kind of mean and unfair. It pulls us down, and you pull us down, and you hurt us.
A decade ago, Tyler spent his time supervising housekeepers. In the internet era, he's on TripAdvisor, managing the hotel's reputation, even on vacation. He tells his side of the story on every negative review and uses TripAdvisor to tell people what to expect. An intimate European-style experience?
We try and put it out there, what we really are. And now it's, you know, if you select us and you don't like it, that's your fault, not ours. We are what we are.
Tyler has even asked TripAdvisor to take down inaccurate reviews. The site has obliged twice. All businesses should be so savvy about their online presence, says LA Times consumer affairs columnist David Lazarus.
It's the stupid companies that are out there, and God knows there's a lot of them, who don't get it, who think that they can ignore this chatter, this constant buzz and droning going on in the ether, and that somehow their business will thrive.
The folks at Yelp, another online review site, know the right buzz is critical. They even publish a handy guide for businesses. It says don't try to bribe customers who post nasty reviews, and show you listen and care. Consistently negative postings mean something probably needs fixing, says Yelp co-founder Jeremy Stoppelman.
And so you can shoot the messenger, or you can do something about it. If it's legitimate, try and make a change.
Stoppelman also says don't forget to thank your superfans. On the internet, a teeny bit of goodwill travels at the speed of light. In Los Angeles, I'm Lenora Chu for Marketplace.
And I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.